WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. So here's a big one. The Trump administration's weighing a major change when it comes to the classification of marijuana. Right now, it's a Schedule 1 drug. That's the category for the most dangerous, no medical value type of substance. But they're talking about reclassifying it and bumping it down to Schedule 3, which means it's considered less risky, kind of like prescription meds. And if that happens, it could totally shake things up for cannabis businesses here in Chicago. We're talking taxes, regulations, access, all of it. But not everyone is cheering. Some say it doesn't go far enough or that it could create new problems. So in this conversation, we'll dig into what this could really mean for the industry and for you with a panel of local leaders in the cannabis space. At the table, we had Tiffany Ingram, who's executive director of the Cannabis Business Association of Illinois, Jonah Rapino, who's director of marketing at New Era, and Akili Parnell, who's co-founder of Umi Dispensary in Lincoln Park. We started off by getting everyone's reactions to Trump's consideration. Here's Jonah.
You know, not sure what I feel about the actuality of it happening. This is an issue that comes up over and over again over the many years. So we're definitely feeling, you know, pragmatic about the possibility of it happening, but would welcome any movement towards normalization of cannabis. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
I'm always optimistic when it's taken up. So I believe this president has, you know, shown that he's willing to do things that had not been done in the past. And so this is something that the federal government has been grappling with since the 70s. And mm-hmm. so we hope to see some movement.
Yeah. Are you also surprised, Akili, that the Trump administration is even taking this on?
I'm not surprised. Actually, was expecting the Trump administration to consider this.
Seriously, okay.
Consider it for a lot of different reasons.
Why?
I think some of the folks that are in his inner circle, like Matt Gaetz, who considered as AG, was pro-cannabis Republican. Some folks in his inner circle I'm hearing, like Mike Tyson and other folks. He has a brand, you know, people that are friends of his mm-hmm. have been urging him to do
kind
something.
Kind of in his ear.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm kind of expecting him to move on it. But, you know, with cannabis reform, it's not done till it's done. So I don't want to get too optimistic.
And as you alluded to, Jonah, this is not the first time that the conversation has happened. So tell us more about how things have evolved.
Well, I think with cannabis industry in general, it's all about baby steps. You know, what you saw originally was, you know, a decriminalization, right? There was nothing that could happen until that started to happen. And then you started to see things being introduced on the state level for medical, right? And then what follows then next is recreational. So I feel like this is kind of a natural progression on that, but it's something that is more around what's happening at the federal level rather than the state level.
Yeah.
So that's where the complications come up. And I think that's where, why it has been coming up for so long, but kind of stayed stagnant on the federal level, because it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. And so we make sure that everyone's on the same page, Tiffany. I gave sort of a brief description there at the top, but walk us through the whole Schedule 1 versus Schedule 3 things. What does that even mean? And what other drugs are in Schedule 1, which is where marijuana currently is?
So Schedule 1 is seen as having no medical value. It's seen as something as highly addictive. It's seen as something akin to heroin. That is currently where cannabis is. Mm-hmm. Schedule 3 is, you know, like your Tylenol with codeine. So you go to the dentist and you
right.
get a Tylenol with codeine. And so that's, you know, that's something that you can get sometimes over the counter. So that's the distinction. And what we are seeing is a recognition that cannabis, in fact, does have some medical value. And so that's driving some of the conversations toward rescheduling it because yeah. of the medical value.
Yeah. And I'm curious, as you say that, Jonah, what's been the holdup? Why hasn't it been reclassified yet?
That's a great question. I mean,
like, what's been the sticking point?
I think it's lots of different vested interests. I think politically, some people it would benefit from this and some people would not benefit from this politically. So I think there's a lot of that kind of going on federally. That would be, I think, one of the biggest things.
Mm-hmm. And so, Akili, for us to further understand, what's that Schedule 1 classification looked like as far as businesses? What's been the impact?
Yeah, it makes an enormous impact on your bottom line.
Yeah.
And so you're essentially paying a 70-80% effective tax rate. You're paying taxes on your gross profit instead of after your standard business expense deductions. And so as a federally illegal business, you can't, on your federal taxes, you can't deduct basic business expenses, marketing, rent, employees, all that stuff. You're just paying taxes on your gross profit, which is a pretty significant number.
Yeah.
And then you still deduct from there your basic business expenses, and then you get your net profit, which ends up being a lot smaller under 280E than it would be post 280E.
Yeah. And there are further implications for you, right, Akili? Because, I mean, I understand you're a smaller cannabis business. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, we're an independent shop in Lincoln Park. We just opened a month ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was almost 5-year journey to get to this point. You know, significant amount of money from our investors, myself.
What were some of the loopholes you had to keep working through for 5 years?
5 years. Yeah. Everything from getting the license in the first place, tons of lawsuits against the state. The city zoning process is very difficult. Mm-hmm. That was like a 2-year process for
everyone's
us.
Nodding at the table. I think you're giving them flashbacks as well.
Exactly. And then you got to operate and deal with all the hurdles from banking to setting up the business in a way where it can be profitable. And then at the end of the day, you do everything right and then you get hit with a huge tax bill.
So we understand, Tiffany, what are the arguments against this reclassification?
Well, I think they're the traditional arguments that we've seen before as far as prohibition, just say no to drugs, that sort of posture against mm-hmm. intoxicating substances.
Mm-hmm. If this change does happen, I want to be clear, it doesn't make marijuana federally legal. Right?
That's an excellent question. So it is important to know what it does not do. It doesn't make it federally legal. It doesn't necessarily...
It's already legal in Illinois.
Correct.
Yes.
There is a patchwork of states that have legalized to a certain degree. So you have about 40 states that have legalized medically. You have about 24 states that have legalized what we call adult use or recreational. One of the major hurdles for cannabis businesses, and I always refer to these entrepreneurs as super entrepreneurs because they don't have the necessary protections that other businesses do, is that it doesn't necessarily normalize banking. And banking is a huge deal
for
cannabis businesses. To get banking services, those things are sometimes backed by, federal regulation. And so banks have to do extra things if they're going to service a cannabis business because it's still Schedule 1. And if you're a plant-touching business, then that triggers certain protocols and things that banks have to think about in order to even consider servicing cannabis businesses, which means cannabis businesses pay a premium on banking.
I see. What else can you add to that, Jonah, as far as the pushback historically? I know that much of it has come from conservatives.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it is the kind of the fear, that has been sown for so many decades about what this actually does. And that's why it's parallel with something like heroin. And I think it's, once again, I feel like very much politically motivated. You have a stump speech to talk about how I'm going to be tough on this, tough on that, tough on drugs, mm-hmm. and kind of ignoring the medical implications. One of the things that I would be most excited about if this does come through and it gets reclassified is the fact that it could open up more avenues for research, so more dollars, more opportunity to actually for the scientific community to get their hands on finding even more of the benefits that are possible beyond what we already know now.
Yeah. I'd love to hear across the table. I mean, do we think, as we sit here today, do we think that this will happen? How confident are we? I know you opened up with your optimism, Tiffany.
Are you still optimistic? Thanks for holding me accountable. Doing this work, and like Akili is a perfect example, it took him 5 years to open up his business.
Time.
And I'm always in awe of people like him that keep at it despite all the odds. And so I have to be optimistic for businesses like Akili in the whole industry because there are not the necessary safety nets. And this business, even in Illinois, employs over 30,000 people. And, you know, they have the right to, you know, be able to enjoy all of the ordinary things that other businesses do. And what's also interesting about this is that cannabis businesses are uniquely sort of homegrown mm-hmm. American businesses. And if we're in a space where we're wanting to encourage our own industries, like cannabis is actually one of them because of our federal posture, you know, that means you have to produce, sell and buy within your state. You cannot cross state lines.
Right.
So that's something uniquely American.
Mm-hmm. Akili, again, we have been here before. It's been talked about. Do you think that this time it'll happen? Will Trump be the one to actually push this forward?
I do. I hope so. I'm not 100%. But it makes sense. It's consistent with Trump as he sort of positions himself as a populist. And cannabis legalization is supported by the majority of Americans, I believe, even in red states. And so I think that he's not the traditional Republican in those ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is something that he might support movement on.
Jonah?
You can look at the markets as well. So there's been definitely some boost in some, reports for shares in cannabis companies right now. So looking like some people are thinking this is going to happen. And oftentimes the markets kind of can show you what is potentially happening politically. So
let's hear some more about the impact on the consumer, because with the reclassification, how would that impact sort of the cost of these cannabis products? You started to talk about that, Akili, and then that trickle down potentially to consumers, because that's what people want to know. Is this going to cost me less, more? Is this a good thing? Should I be happy here?
Mm-hmm. Well, to the extent that it takes pressures off the business, we might have flexibility to lower prices. I'm not sure that it directly impacts those, because the reason things are so expensive in Illinois is partially because the state taxes are just so enormously high.
Yeah.
And so that's really a state issue to act on.
Tiffany?
No, I think just adding on to Akili, I think that's right. And particularly in Illinois, we have some of the highest taxes in the state. I call it being in between the M&Ms of Missouri and Michigan.
Okay.
So we have a lot of carpetbaggers that go to New Buffalo, Michigan, to get cheaper cannabis, but that's in part due to how we're taxed. The other thing that's actually challenging the industry is the existential threat of sort of and the federal loophole that, you know, many operators that are outside of the license industry, the intoxicating hemp industry. It's a loophole created by the 2018 Farm Bill, mm-hmm. where you have consumers that are confused about, am I going into a real dispensary or am I going into a smoke shop that's holding itself up to be a dispensary? So that's another problem that the federal government had attempted to deal with recently, but has not yet.
Yeah, so no resolution on that?
No.
Just yet. What is the current environment like? For the person listening who doesn't dabble in this and maybe has no issue with it, but this is just not really their thing, how would you describe, Jonah, the environment of selling marijuana in Chicago right now?
Absolutely. I think your average person on the street definitely knows that cannabis is a thing in Illinois, right? So you're smelling it. You're seeing people partake in it.
Maybe
you're
overestimating that people listening have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, and
Jonah's like, yeah, they're in my store.
And you're seeing, you know, there's some billboards around and there's some advertising, although the reclassification could actually move the needle on that as well. because there's no way for any cannabis company or any plant-touching company to do any advertising, say, on Google or on Meta or things like that, because it, you know, goes against the community guidelines. So that might be something that, that changes as well. But I think what Tiffany brought up is a very important point, is that there is a bit of confusion. Because there's many layers of different regulation on different products. Mm-hmm. So you have your intoxicating hemp, which falls under one thing, and then you have your other, our industry is all about more Delta 9.
So clarify that for me. What's intoxicating hemp businesses versus like a licensed cannabis business?
Absolutely. So it comes out of the Farm Bill and with hemp, and if you have a product that is below 0.3% of this cannabinoid, Delta 9 or THC, then it doesn't fall under the same regulation that the companies that you're talking to today, right? So there's basically, maybe Tiffany can correct me on this, but almost no real regulation or oversight. And so they're able to kind of, through these loopholes, make these products that are, in fact, intoxicating, yet someone can walk in there. They don't have to show an ID. There's no guarantee that there's any like inspection happening on the products that there are being sold. Who knows if there's pesticides or heavy metals or whatever. There's just no oversight on that. And that's something that I'm hopeful that potentially, once again, this reclassification could help also expand the conversation to them and bring a sensible amount of regulation into the hemp industry and potentially make the complications, the complicated structure of the regulation for our industry a little bit lighter, and in fact kind of bring everybody more towards the middle, that would really benefit the consumer in a huge way.
Interesting. What would you add, if anything, to that, Akili?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another really big issue facing the legal cannabis industry is the sale of largely unregulated intoxicating hemp. And it's coming across state lines. It threatens in-state businesses. The majority of that product is not produced in the state of Illinois. Everything that we're selling is produced in the state of Illinois. We're purely Illinois business. And so we want to support Illinois business owners and not folks, you know, from wherever that aren't invested in our communities.
And so, Tiffany, then we talked about the reclassification and what it could mean for consumers in terms of maybe the trickle-down cost effect. What does it mean for the city, for Chicago? What do you think?
I think similarly, like if it's a step toward normalization. It's a step toward, we were talking in the green room about, you know, when a customer gets their product, there's a bit of a sticker shock, right? There's a, you know, my product cost $25. Why am I paying $50? That's a big thing. That's a big thing because there's not the understanding that, oh, and I also have to round up because I, you know, the way the banking is, I can't take a credit card. So there are lots of things that really interfere with a good customer experience because of the way that cannabis is scheduled currently. Yeah. And so hopefully we can smooth that out.
How do you all deal with that, that sticker shock when folks say to you, I mean, do you just shake your head and look at them, Akili, like, hey, I mean, got to pass it on.
I have to double check it myself. I still get sticker shock. I can ring up 1,000 customers. I'm like, hey.
You're like,
an extra
she's
20.
Right.
I mean, I think it comes down to education, right? So we're explaining, you know, we have the opportunity to explain to these people, you know, what actually goes into to all of this, how we have to be, you know, very careful and very, you know, intentional about how we grow it because of all the licensing, all the security cameras, all the checks literally by the Illinois State Police. Just all the red tape that's involved is going into the cost of this, this product.
Money.
And then we talk about the tax. Right. And so, you know, one of the things that I've long, you know, harangued about is that if the tax could be lowered a bit, you would actually benefit from more people coming in to make their purchases from the legal market, which would then result in actual a higher amount of revenue going towards the state and less people traveling out of state, going to the gray market, going to the intoxicating hemp, you know, things like that. So
it makes it sound so simple. Why don't we do that? So just to recap here before we wrap, you know, the Trump administration is considering reclassifying marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3 drug. We've been talking this hour about the major implications for cannabis businesses here in our area. Looking at all three of you, just quickly around the table, what are you looking out for? Because, again, this is not a thing just yet. It's a consideration. What are you looking out for the future? What are you keeping an eye on? Tiffany?
keeping an eye on, obviously, what's happening at the federal level, mm-hmm. given the current conversation, keeping an eye on what type of breathing room the state of Illinois is able to provide our, you know, homegrown cannabis businesses, and what type of regulatory policy may be implemented to deal with the intoxicating hemp industry.
Yeah. Jonah?
Keeping an eye on what potential involvement that FDA or DEA may have in this. It doesn't seem likely that they would be very involved, but if they were, you know, if there was other government agencies that decided all of a sudden, okay, well, now we want to be involved, how that could potentially make it even more complex and difficult for businesses,
yeah.
and entrepreneurs to get into the industry. Because my hope is that the, you know, rescheduling would actually, you know, especially if that then triggers a change in banking, that it could potentially make it easier for other entrepreneurs to come into the business and make for more people, you know, benefiting
absolutely.
From this industry.
More people like Akili.
Yeah, absolutely.
Final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I'm looking at how platforms like Google and Instagram respond to the reform. Do they lighten the restrictions on cannabis businesses? Mm-hmm. That would be huge, in addition to banking reform in general, because that would be really big too.
Yeah, we'll have to pick this up when we hear some movement from Washington. We've been talking with Akili Parnell, who's co-founder of Umi Dispensary in Lincoln Park, Jonah Rapino, who's director of marketing at New Era, and Tiffany Ingram, who's the executive director of the Cannabis Business Association of Illinois. Thank you all.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. For more conversations like this, consider subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.